Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We have got a bumper-filled episode today, Tony.
We have.
I'm not sure we're going to get through everything.
We'll try.
There's a lot to talk about.
There is, yeah.
I think we're going to kick things off with a subject that I actually don't want to talk about for that long, but I feel like we have to talk about, which is Litchfield / £25,000 gate.
Do you know what? I know we did speak about this, but I'd almost forgot about that, man.
Thank God. I mean, it feels like finally people have moved on from this.
Yeah.
As I say, I don't really want to go into too much detail about it because I'm just a bit bored of it all now, but I've had so many messages from people
asking
if we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
That, you know, we try to do our best here to listen to what you guys want us to talk about and try and answer the questions that you're submitting. So it feels like we should touch on it. For those of you that don't know, sort of what happened, what we're talking about last week, at the start of last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chris Harris put out a tweet saying that Litchfield had told him that recently an unnamed influencer had got in touch and asked for £25,000, some free suspension kit for a Yaris, and some commission on future sales in return for a video, basically
to promote Litchfield.
Yeah, to promote Litchfield, and Chris was saying that this was kind of appalling and you know, crazy, and from there this kind of crazy whirlwind of chat began with speculation and accusations, and there was podcasts, there was YouTube videos. It just went mad for an entire week.
Yeah.
Personally, I do not want to wade in on who that influencer was, whether they were right to do so or whatever.
Me too.
I think Chris was 100% within his right to be appalled by something, to have an opinion, to share that opinion. I think he actually, 99% of the time, does it very well, very cleverly. I think he's well spoken. I think he's eloquent about it. And I think he's open to hearing, you know, the other side of the argument. But what that tweet did was motivate some other people who are on the more traditional media side of the car world, so journalists and things like that, to once again go in and say, like, how ridiculous is it that YouTubers are asking for money or are being paid to promote companies and brands? Now, I'm pretty sure it's 2021 that the majority of the audience now understand how social media creators make money. I'm pretty sure that, yeah. I mean, you know, there might be some confusion still, but speaking personally, just in my own experience, around 75% of my income comes through commercial partnerships. Hey, look, 5 years ago, it was the other way around. Like 75% of my income came from YouTube AdSense and 25% was commercial partnerships. But that's majorly, majorly swapped now because AdSense is not what it used to be. So the way I make my money is by working with different brands and companies. And that can be in so many different ways. It can be from sponsorships to partnerships to brand placement to affiliate links. I mean, there's loads of different ways. I've worked with the likes of Shell filming with Sebastian Vettel. That was a commercial partnership. That's how we make our money.
Yeah.
Every single creator is within their right to charge what they see is the right amount of money for their services, for their value. Everyone's running their own business. I'm super selective with the brands that I work with.
You are, yeah.
Very, very selective. Do it few and far between. Hey, sometimes I've made mistakes, of course. But I'm very much like, not everyone's the same, but that's their decision. That's their choice.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes journalists can get on their high horse. And I say journalists because that's who I mean. And it is a small contingent. You know, the big names that we've all heard of, the everyday names, very rarely make these complaints anymore. Mm. They're far more understanding, far more open. As I say, Chris has been great. I went on that Collecting Cars podcast a couple of years ago. Totally open to hearing how we operate as a business.
Well, I don't always agree with what Chris says, but to be fair to him, when I read that tweet, it's very hard to get a context of what someone is saying through a written statement of any kind, whether it's a text message, an email, a tweet, an Instagram post, anything. So I didn't completely get what he was, whether he was going at influencers or what he was doing, until I listened to part of the podcast. So I thought I better listen to it because he might be able to explain what he means. And to be fair to him, he wasn't having a pop at all. Mm. Basically, he thought that this influencer was taking the mickey out of a small brand. And to be fair to the influencer, if that's his fee, no problem, because that's business. But he was right in the fact that, dare I say it, he's taking the piss out of this small firm. And he even said that, and I completely agree with him. But at the same time, it's completely okay for Litchfield to say yes or no. You know, it's the business part. But what really got me wasn't Chris's tweet, because I'd watched the Collecting Cars podcast and I then understand exactly what he meant, was the way that everyone jumped on the bandwagon. From what I saw, journalists, big and small, influencers, big and small, going in on fellow peers and calling them out and saying stuff. And then what that does is, because you're all influencers, even journalists are influencers, mate, whether they like it or not.
Of course, that's why I hate that term so much, but keep going.
They have an audience and they influence that audience, whether they call themselves journalists or influencers or whatever they are. And what that does, when they all start saying stuff, the general public then get involved. And it was just a huge snowball effect. And from what I was reading, I just thought, this is awful. From when you look at the original tweet and what Chris was actually trying to say, and to be fair to him, he wasn't digging out influencers. He wasn't saying that. He was saying that that he thought that this particular influencer was taking the mickey out of a small firm, and that small firm happened to be his friend, which is why he had a problem with it. Which, to be fair, he was just standing up for his mate, which is exactly what I would do with you. Same
totally.
Thing.
It's like if I called you and said, "Hi, mate, someone's just offered me an F-Type, 2016, 75,000 miles, and they're trying to charge me 110 grand. You would go, "What an absolute joke.
Taking the piss.
You're taking the piss.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm so with you there. And as I say, it's such a difficult one because the way that anyone chooses to commercialize their business is up to them.
They're prerogative.
Yeah, as I say, I'm kind of moving this whole topic onto a different conversation because I'm bored of actual Litchfield 25K gate. Mm. You know, as I say, each to their own, everyone, blah, blah, blah. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just frustrated by the fact that some small voices were given an opportunity to once again come in with the, "Oh, well, YouTubers shouldn't be making money and they shouldn't be working, and death to the YouTuber, and this is appalling." Another, you know, I just... Oh.
And I agree. And it wasn't... What wasn't fair is the fact that you was immediately all tarnished with the same brush.
Yeah.
Which is not fair, because you all are independent, like you said, and you all do things completely different. And you know what as well? I would advise you, by the way, because it completely switched my mind about the whole thing, go and listen to what the guy said on Collecting Cars as well.
For sure.
Because Ian, Chris, both explained why they put that tweet out. And it makes complete sense at that point.
And let's leave it. As a community now, let's leave it. Everyone involved, like, you know, I think, as I say, influencers are in question or whoever's been suspected or whatever, just let everyone be.
Yeah.
Everyone can operate however they want to operate. I think judgment should be left at the door now.
I agree. Yeah.
So let's move on to it, because as I say, we've got a ton to get through. I just thought it was important that we clear the air with that, because I know people were desperate for us
to chat. Like I said, I forgot about it, but...
You did forget about it. Well, one thing you didn't forget about, because you messaged me last night, you douchebag, was my Taycan rear-wheel drive video.
No, I didn't message you. I tweeted you, and then I messaged you.
My drifting video.
Unbelievable.
Drifto master.
It's clear that you've had plenty of practice on that sim.
So go on then. What do you want to say to me after watching that video? What have you been just waiting to tear into me about?
No. I'm not going to tear into you at all. But it. I don't think it's as easy as you think to drift an electric car. Anyway, firstly, I can't proclaim that I'm an expert at drifting, but you were doing it wrong.
Okay, so a few things that shall feed in on there. So this car was handed over to me on the press release premise that it had done a 26-mile drift. This was a rear-wheel... Yeah, it's got the record for a 26-mile drift.
Well, it's probably had enough. Probably think I'm not drifting anymore.
So I was like, oh, wow, this thing must be nuts. It must just, like, burn rear tyres. And I was thinking in my head of all those kind of crazy electric cars you see at Goodwood or on videos of just tyre shredders, all that torque. Like, that's in my head. So I thought, this is gonna be easy.
Yeah.
Off we go. All I have to do is just pin the throttle out of a standing still. And can I just say that 2 days before, I had the keys to an M2CS video coming soon. Or maybe it's already live. I can't remember. And it was similar conditions, obviously manual, not that difference in power, around 40 horsepower more in the M2. And I could not get out of a stationary junction not sideways.
It's got cup twos on it though, mate.
I don't care.
No.
The point being that I'd come from this very similar experience in my head of here's a car that literally, if I'm at 30% throttle, I'm going sideways.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
I'll be honest, and I hope BMW UK don't listen to this, I did nearly bin it into a central reservation at one point because I thought, oh, I finally got traction, floored it, and I still didn't.
Well, judging by that Taycan video the other day, I can believe it.
Well, good point. Then I get in this Taycan rear drive, a 26-mile drift, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going, oh, same thing. And
it's
then when it didn't the first couple of times, I was like, ah. Now, yes, I freely admit, and I said it in the video, I am no drifting master.
But you do know how to drive, mate. You're not stupid.
I'm not stupid. I like to think that I'm not stupid. I actually err on the side of caution way more. So I think if I was a bit more stupid and maybe a bit younger, I would have thrown the thing around a bit more. And then
and
maybe
been in a push.
Yeah, been in a push or got a bit more angle. And I actually linked in the comments to that video, I linked my drifting. I went to learn to drift in Ireland. Yeah. It's one of the funnest experiences, but one of my favorite videos on the channel that no one knows about. So I'll link it again here because it was brilliant. I'm not a master, but I don't not know what I'm doing.
For sure.
And so I was aware that I was on public reservoir. But the point being, as crap as I am at drifting, that car also inherently, I don't think, is as kind of rear wheel tail happy as the press release or your head might suggest.
Because electrics, it's no good. As simple as that. As in, it's not the... I know that you've seen it on... You do have to be broken, by the way. With a normal combustion engine car with a turbocharge, I know all the torque comes in and it's very similar. The torque comes in all at once in an electric car, as does something like an M2CS. But the gearing is a big thing. It's got gears for a start.
The car.
The
combustion engine
combustion
car.
Car.
Yeah. Agreed.
The electric car doesn't have that. It's just one power band all the way through. Whereas a combustion engine car, normally nowadays these modern cars have the torque peaks as it goes through gears. So you get more torque as you go up gears, which makes them easier to slide. If you've got one power band all the way through, it's all at once. So it's not a spike, which is why when you was you know provoking it to skid, it was skidding
scandy
better.
Flick.
Correct.
Of course, it's because it's the weight as well. You've got to think that the weight is so low down.
Correct.
It's the lowest center of gravity on all and on any portion.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really got to move the car, which I get. And as I say, I was aware that I wasn't in a place to really do that. I think if I was in an empty car park, the thing would have gone around in circles. And 26-mile drift, it can clearly hold the drift once you initiate it, But actually initiating it, I thought was a little bit harder than I was expecting. That's all I was trying to prove. And I forgot to say that it's because I'd read this press release that I thought, well, it must be so easy.
Yeah.
And that's where I was disappointed. Of course, with more time, with more practice in a different space, of course I could have got it. But the other point being that there are plenty of clips out there that people have also been sending me that I've seen of Taycan 4S Turbo, Turbo S drifting or going sideways. I mean, that's already a thing.
Yeah. The other thing as well is, like you said, there is a power thing involved there as well. So it's much easier to skid a 600 horsepower supercar than it is to, in fact, you don't. It's not even got to be easy in a 600 horsepower supercar. You are going sideways. It's as simple as that. And tire temperature, the day, everything is all important. More so on a car that's 300 or 400 horsepower, you have to provoke it a bit more. Whereas you've got something that's got lots of power, it doesn't matter hot, dry. It's just got too much power and too much torque, which means if you turn the traction control off, you are going sideways, mostly into a tree.
Yeah, of course, exactly. And you know, so I think it was just a different way of driving. You know, you've got all those things that you can use in a combustion engine or manual car, clutch kicks and all these kind of different things, and you say rev and torques, and so yeah, I it was an experiment, one that maybe I wasn't the person to do, but I wanted to. Yeah. as an everyday consumer, someone who's
good
not
video
out here
by
to,
the way,
thank you very much.
I've watched one of your videos for
a while. I stepped up the quality a little bit.
I pressed light. Is that good?
Very good, thank you. Anyway, so well, I'm glad you didn't go in too harsh, but it is what it is. I think the sort of that wider question is, you know, with all of these manufacturers, and I know, Tony, you're Mr. I Hate EVs, but they've got to somehow find a way to make these cars more engaging to drive.
I'm sure they will.
You know, and rear wheel drive, I guess, is that potential component, and right for Porsche to sort of trial that first. Mm. I don't think it really made sense or any difference. If I'm honest, I would still go with a turbo or turbos if I could afford them.
Yeah.
But it's what we're going to see more of. We're going to see more of electric sports cars drivers cars. Yeah. And that has been proven today by, I think, quite a sad announcement. One that has cut me deep.
Go on.
Jaguar.
Oh, so. Tell.
2025, they will be an all-electric luxury brand.
Mm.
So this is JLR. Well, like so many brands now, we've been talking about the Lotus Elution, the Renault Lution. This is the JLR Lution. Mm. You know, all these brands are having to change. You know, we've got all these sort of, not restrictions, what am I thinking about? Regulations, thank you, being imposed all around the world, and these companies are having to react to it.
Yeah.
And so JLR came out today, big news, we're changing it all up, and Jaguar is no longer going to be a brand that's sort of chasing numbers or, you know, production numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to cut it right down. It's all about premium quality luxury EVs.
So who's chasing the numbers? Land Rover?
Yes, Land Rover is still going to go. They're doing 5 EV models by 2039, I think. But 2025 for Jaguar to be all electric, that's less than 4 years.
Well, that does make sense, because what will happen is Land Rover will use Jaguar as the guinea pig, because most Land Rover dealers prop up the Jag dealers, which is why a couple of years ago they integrated them both.
Of course.
And Adam has won, because they don't sell many Jaguars. Most of it's like business lease and stuff like that, which makes perfect sense, which is why they're going heavily into the EV market. And they will use that as their R&D, which will then go into Land Rover.
And my complaints are purely from an emotional point of view, where I love that brand and I love their heritage. And obviously F-Type is my baby. But yeah, when you look at it, XC unfortunately didn't sell as well as I think the car suggests it should have, because it's a great car. XF really hasn't. They've really restricted that new engine lineup. F-Pace, strong. E-Pace, I don't really know what E-Pace did. But yeah, they haven't been selling in big numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get from a business point of view, but of all the brands to say we're going all electric, premium luxury, why the brand that's famous for huge hunking V8s and Le Mans racing history and engine, like British shouty engineering, like that's where it cuts me. Like, fine, Renault, cool, like whatever, Bentley. I'm like, okay, Bentley, I kind of get it. But Jag, it's like, that's it. When the 5-litre V8, gone. See ya.
Yeah, yeah. But we've said this, haven't we? The V12's going, and did you see that it's confirmed?
Sorry, it's my WhatsApp. Oh. Go away, whoever you are.
It's your mum?
No, maybe the Jag dealer letting me know my SVR spec is confirmed.
God.
Go on.
I can't remember. So, Mercedes.
The V12?
The V12's got obviously gone. They've announced that it's confirmed that the next C63 is a 2 litre. So they're all going down that road, mate. So
all going down that road, but as I say, from a brand point of view, it just upsets me. I'm excited to see what they could do. You know, I like the idea of a super luxury, super premium Jag. I don't think it's going to be sports car in my mind. That suggests saloons and things like that. Mm. Which, you know, I think it'll be a sad day when we don't have an XK or an F Type or whatever it might be from Jag. So if anything, it's just motivated me even more to now go and either find myself a Project 7, a Project 8, or just get myself an F-Type again.
Or a, 2018 F-Type.
Stop trying to sell that one. You've got in stock. Because, you know, we talked about it a lot in the last episode. Like, should we go and buy V12s? But I've said it for the last 3 years that I need another F-Type in my life at some point. And I kind of feel like if I went back to last year and went go big or go home, it's got to be Project 7. But then I'm a bit like, well, who's going to spend all that money? Why don't I just go and get myself a 50 grand F-Type?
Who's going to buy it when you want to sell it, more importantly?
I nearly knee-jerked this morning. I nearly was like, sell everything. I was like, I'm going to sell the 996, sell the Abarth. Just get rid of them, get myself an F-Type.
The biggest influencer is being influenced.
Yeah. So true. God damn it. One day. I mean, it's got to happen sooner rather than later. I think I would actually be happy. As much as I'm enjoying the projects, the 996 and the Abarth project, and there's still lots of life in them, as a human being, I would be happier with just an F-Type downstairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My content would be dire because I'd just be doing all the stuff I did. I've wrapped it True Blood Red.
Yeah, again.
There's a Quicksilver exhaust on it. Again. I've cut the rear wing mechanicals and stuff.
Oh, like my
anyway,
God.
Let's move on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A few new cars lurking around. For those of you that are listening, you're going to be a bit frustrated because we're recording this early in the week and there's a lot of exciting cars to be revealed this week that we don't know anything about yet.
No.
So McLaren Artura, you guys probably would have seen now, that would have launched their new Sports Series Hybrid. I'm intrigued. Some of the leaked, or not leaked, the teaser photos really suggest baby 720S.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but like might have similar headlights, maybe even similar rear. So let's see what that's going to be like. But I'm intrigued. We're both intrigued. You know, our new openness towards McLaren. GT3, I think, is getting launched today. We've pretty much seen everything, but we haven't seen a proper finished product yet. Yeah.
But we know roughly what that car's going to be.
We know roughly what that's going to be.
Bloody brilliant.
Bloody amazing. The best one there. And then also, we've got the first F1 car of the year being unveiled, McLaren's, this evening.
So orange.
We guess. It's going to be the most, they're saying it's going to be the most different car of the year because basically all the cars evolutions of 2020 cars.
Of course.
Because the regulations basically restrict them from doing too much. But McLaren obviously are changing engine partners. They're getting Mercedes engines now.
Are they?
Yeah, so Mercedes engines going forward. So back to the championship winning years of 98, 99.
Oh, interesting.
All that stuff like that. So because they've had to incorporate that engine, they've had to change a lot. So they've said that they've effectively built a new car.
Okay.
So, and let's see sponsor-wise, what's going to be happening there. I think the livery will be relatively similar. Mm-hmm. But that'll be cool to see. So yeah, some nice stuff, which I say frustrating because we haven't seen it yet. But no. Lots of you have. So we'll talk about it next week.
We will.
Let's move on to the thing that you kind of spurred us on to talk about the most today, which is based around Golf GTI pricing.
Yeah.
So we have mentioned it a few times that the latest gen Golf seems to be extortionately expensive.
Yeah. And like I said, we have said it a few times. I think base model car is $32,000 now. Volkswagen dealers are going to be screaming at me, but I think I'm right. 32, Club Sport starts 34, Golf R is 37 or 38 start, by the way. So you can quite easily get a Golf GTI, the people's car.
The people's car.
Easily spec it to $40,000. So yesterday, I put a post on my Instagram. Okay. I was sitting at home watching the football, and I put a post up and I said, would you buy a Golf GTI in a poll or something else, new or used, just something else for $40,000? And my phone absolutely lit up. I think it's just people are bored.
No one had anything to do in lockdown.
No.
Did you have a percentage of, or was it send us your suggestion?
Oh, mate, it was huge. So I had both. I had a percentage and then DM me your suggestion.
Okay. And you can you remember the percentage?
Have it's not look. Finished yet.
Oh, here he goes. Because I think the Golf...
84%.
Said something else.
Said something else.
So here's my feeling. The Golf, you're right, has forever been the people's car, especially in GTI format. But it's also, I think, the kind of choice that everyone wants to avoid in the sense that... Do you remember years ago there was that very clever advertising campaign where they had all these cars and closed the door? Sounds like a Golf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look, that's just like a Golf.
Yeah.
But I think especially when you're looking at the market and you think, okay, let's start with the Golf. You think, yeah, but it's a bit boring, isn't it? What else could I get? Do you know what I mean? Well, everyone still does buy them. They are still fantastic.
Historically, mate, it is the hot, the best hot hatch. Yeah. It does everything as an all-round car. They're my favourite. However, at $40,000, the cars you can get for $40,000, nearly new, with change, used,
well,
is
let's,
huge.
Let's stay in the hatchback market as direct rivals,
yeah.
Direct comparisons. What comes to mind?
Well, the suggestions I was getting, used RS3s, S3s, BMW 135, BMW M140, A35, got a lot of A35, IN30 Hyundai.
So immediately, like starting off, you did Audi, BMW and Merc. So three theoretically more premium German brands, used or new, I suppose. New, could you get any of those?
Not quite. S3 just.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're all... significantly
M135, sorry, yeah, you can get one of them new. Yeah,
so you know, you're looking at more power, more kit, more luxury, more badge.
All the same? Yeah, roughly.
So actually, is it that those cars are all a little bit overpriced as well? Is this not a reflection of the market in general?
Well, listen, we all know that new cars are expensive. And I also had quite a lot of people say, well, what does it matter nowadays? Because everything's on finance. It's all about monthly payments and residuals. And yes, you are quite right.
Well done.
That's correct. But most people don't keep their cars 4 years. And after 2 years, when you want to come out, which is, we spoke about this before, which is the big problem.
The danger zone.
Then you'll worry about what you paid new for it then at that point. Because no one's going to give $40,000. In fact, when I looked, they're already discounting them hugely because they're not selling them at $40,000,
obviously. I can imagine. Yeah. It's crazy. It is a crazy amount of money, but I think give me any budget and for a new car and I'll tell you a better used car I could get for that money.
Yeah.
But I think the interesting question is new, because I do feel like, in general, all cars these days are just getting more expensive.
They are, yeah.
I know we've spoken about it recently, Defender Gate, and the fact that you had one, you didn't have one, one was coming, one wasn't coming. But I started to look at them more and more now, and we've spoken about the fact that maybe I'm going to change up the X3 in the months ahead. I thought, you know, maybe Defender would, maybe that's an interesting car to actually live with.
It is a very interesting car.
But God, they're expensive by the time you've actually made them nice.
Yeah, well, the one that I had for a while was knocking on $70,000, mate,
for a
2 litre diesel car.
A ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, so... I think for the Golf GTI, I'm with you. Like, 40 grand on a Golf, it blows my mind. My first ever car was a Golf, and I think it was 3.5 grand or 2.5. I can't even remember. It was that long ago. But, you know, and it was great. It was a used Mark IV, and it was wonderful. But thinking of spending 40 grand on a Golf GTI...
And the biggest problem with that car as well is that the Mark 7 and 7.5 is so good that you could get a year-old Golf R... just because it's not got the latest screens, but it'll be very similar for 15 grand less.
But it's like when we talk about, you know, your beloved GT2 RS.
Yeah.
I could tell you 10 million cars that I'd get for under 250 grand instead.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying, like, I get everyone's point of view, and I am the king of, I will find you a better used car. I will. But what are the comparative cars priced at? Because I would argue it's ridiculous if the Golf suddenly was more than an S3 or was more... Do you see what I'm saying? If they had hiked the prices of their car beyond the competition, because then you're trying to reposition the Golf.
Okay.
But actually, at starting price, whatever you said, 32 or 33, is that actually just where the market is? Nowadays, hot hatches are just inherently more expensive.
But the GTI doesn't compete with the S3. The R does.
Okay, fair.
So a Golf R spec is, if not the same, a little bit dearer than the S3 now.
Okay, so that's an interesting
point.
It's
a problem, mate. It's too much money. But the problem is because...
And we're talking about highly spec'd, right? We're talking about, like, because 40 grand and 50 grand are highly spec'd examples.
Yeah, so the list price of a standard S3 will be 36, 37 grand. But the S3 will come with full leather, heated seats, will come with a lot more as standard than the Golf.
Sure.
So to get the Golf to the same equipment as the S3 will be more. So standard, there's not a lot of difference between the two, and actually probably the Golf might be 500 quid or a grand cheaper.
Sure.
But when you start specking the Golf and putting leather in to get it to the same spec as the S3, it'll be more. So that is a really good comparison.
And I think the thing is this just signaling that the new car sales are going to start to take a dip? I mean, we see it quite a lot on the supercar prestige market, but with 2030 coming, I know that I'm only looking at older cars. I'm definitely not looking forward to, you know, oh, let's go and get brand new X, Y, and Z. I want old stuff. And that's going to happen more and more the harder the regulations hit. But also, if the price of a Golf GTI could be 40 grand, as I say, I could name you 400 cars that I think are better, I'd be more excited about, that are at 40 grand. And yes, finance is king. Sure, the monthly payments might be different, but they could also sometimes be better. Because I could go out there and tell you that, okay, your Golf GTI is what, £235 a month or whatever, £239 a month, and in 2 years' time, you're going to owe 5 grand to get out of it. But if you can go and get 300 quid a month, I don't know what, it's...
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, yeah. It's the manufacturers will keep hiking these cars and doing finance deals on them all the time. People keep coming through the doors. When they stop coming through the doors, they then adjust. But people are obviously... They do a lot of research into their pricing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And they've obviously looked...
It's not one guy.
It's not one it's not you and me making it up. No.
I know what. Let's go 45 grand.
Yeah. There is a lot of research, and I get that bit. And they've obviously looked at the market, Volkswagen, and they think that their car is the best out of all the hot hatches, which is why they priced it at that. And invariably, as an all-round hot hatch, it is the go-to car. It certainly is for me. But I am not, absolutely not, like I said to you, 53,000 quid for a new Golf R. Are you joking? Like, no, that it's supposed to be the people's car and a all-round hot hatch. I mean, if you step the ladder up even more, what can you get for 50,000 quid? I mean, it's unbelievable.
It goes nuts, doesn't it? And so, yeah, it just keeps deterring me from newer cars. Mm. You know, the more and more I look at it, the more and more I think, you know, don't yell at me, but like... Gen 1 Porsche Cayenne. What a car. If you're not watching here on YouTube, Tony is now death staring me, and I think he's also been sick in his mind. But what I mean is that, you know, modern cars in our mind, us old farts, are becoming less and less attractive, more and more expensive. So if you're, I don't really know my point, if you're a young and up and comer, are you looking at Golf GTI going, well, that's just too much now, like it's too ludicrous, or that's just what it is?
No, I
do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you've got a really interesting point here, or actually a bit of a non-point.
I don't think kids, mate, are buying Golf GTIs now. They're buying Polos, Fiestas. When I say kids, I mean
21, 22.
Under 25, say. Because a lot of them, and as well, let's not forget, yes, finance, you know, it will be competitive, but you're still borrowing 40 grand. People forget that.
That's debt.
Yes. instead of buying something that's a year old for 26, or if you compare it GTI, a year old GTI with 10,000 miles on it will be early 20s. So it's like nearly double the money, and the monthly payments will be loads less because you're just borrowing less money. People always think that, oh, it's a new car and the balloon will be bigger. Yes, it will be. But you're still borrowing 40 grand. You have to remember that. So the monthly payment does reflect that. So I think
sometimes we forget that money is written against your name.
Correct.
Like a mortgage or something. Yeah. People just go, oh, it's 300 quid a month. I can afford that. It's fine. But on your credit report, it says 45 grand's worth of debt. You know, you've got to think about these things. And I do feel like, you know, we've been speaking about it for a while, but we do need to do another finance special with Magnitude, I think, just to go through some of those potential pitfalls. Because the world's a different place now as well from when we did that last special three years ago or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the world is very much a different place, and borrowing money and things like that has changed. So it'd be great to get Tim or someone from Magnitude on to have a chat about that. I want to keep an eye on this. I definitely want to keep an eye on this. I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens with sort of used or nearly new values, because as you suggested, that I think I've already heard of discount GTIs, amazing leasing deals, blah, blah, blah. So 40 grand spec'd up, yep, that's doable, but are you actually going to be paying that? What are they going to be worth 6 months down the line? And across the board, there are so many examples of new cars that 5 years ago were like half the price they are today.
Yeah.
And is it just because of the way that the market's moved, or is it because they're getting greedy, or is it because their pricing structure is different? What does it mean? What does it mean for all of us?
Yeah. Well, the Mark 7 Golf GTI, when it came out, a GTI was 25, 26 grand plus options. It's now 32 plus options, and you get less standard on the Mark 8 than you did on the Mark 7. So
interesting.
So it's like a full £6,000 or £7,000 more. Mate, that's huge.
All in the meanwhile, EVs are even more expensive than that.
Correct. I mean,
we don't know what their used values are like.
Well, no, we don't know that. Well,
that's the scary part.
Tesla we do, but Tesla don't buy used cars back, so it just goes to show how much confidence they have in their used market. They won't take them back in.
Terrifying, isn't it?
The terrifying.
Tesla army did like to go in on me on the Taycan video. They're always there, ready to pounce.
Always
in the old EV. It was like somebody did a tweet that saying, "What's the worst?" I think it was Rory Reed saying, "What's the worst car group, automotive group?"
Yeah.
So I was replacing Tesla. The most, is it? It couldn't be patriotic, but you know, passionate group of car people. But yeah, you know, we'll keep our eyes peeled and see what's going to happen, and we'll keep you guys posted as well. I am hopefully going to be having an experience in GTI Club Sport in a couple of weeks, which I'm intrigued by. What was the old three-door Club Sport? Was it called a Club Sport S?
Club Sport S.
Was that good? Did you ever go in one of those?
Yeah. We sold one. So it was a two-seater.
Yeah, with like a cage in the back and manual and...
And a diff.
Was it super stiff or was it all right?
Yeah.
But like kind of good?
But very good, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of always like that. Whenever I see them on the road, I'm like, well, that looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the modern one, the Mark 8 Club Sport, is just a variant. It's not stripped out.
No, I know, which is why I think I'm going to go in on it. I'm trying to keep an open mind. Yeah. But yeah, because obviously it's not what it was type thing. But the old one, I think, is an attractive proposition. And again, financially, probably less, I would reckon, than the new...
I think they're mid-20s still.
Yeah. Mid-20s compared to a new Club Sport S, which is a Club Sport.
Club Sport, yeah.
Oh, it's too many names. Anyway, we're going to wrap up today's episode. There was a lot. We got through it all.
We did, yeah.
Actually, record time.
So well, before we go, what do you think was the most popular car in my DMs out of all the cars that could have been suggested?
for 40 grand.
Yeah.
Used.
New or used.
New or, yeah. But,
I think it was a used car.
Everyone's going to go used. Yeah. Everyone's going to go used. I mean, it should have been the F-Type V6.
It wasn't.
People aren't that clever, so.
don't remember seeing that one.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is.
Go on.
M2 Comp.
Yeah.
So popular.
Followed by, I'll tell you what else was really popular. A35 was in there.
Okay.
A lot of A, which is a very good comparison, by the way. A35 has actually got more power as well. Julia was mentioned quite a lot, Quadrifoglio.
Interesting. No one's actually buying them, but everyone's still talking about them.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it?
It's mad.
And I really like them.
Yeah.
And loads of M4, M3.
Yeah, I was leaning towards M4.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, M2. It's just everyone with that kind of money, it seems to be the most desirable car. I think it's the most desirable cheap sports car.
Yeah. So if you want to sell your M2 comp, let me know. I could do about 10 of them now.
Always plugging himself. anyway, we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Gravel Car Sales on Instagram and I think on Twitter and some other places. I'm Seen Through Glass pretty much everywhere that you can try to find me. I'll be there. And we will catch up with you next week when we will hopefully be able to talk about new supercars.
Something informative.
How exciting.
Yes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.